Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Paddle Pod, your weekly podcast covering professional paddle presented by Hugo and Gons. We're on to episode 75, and as always, joined by my co-host Hugo here today. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks, Gons. 75. So, yeah, about a quarter of a way to the 100. Very, very excited for what's to come, as always. And yeah, I've got to say, I'm feeling better than yesterday night. Because, well, you'll know why, but for our fans and people who are interested, who, to be honest, won't be that many, we played another federated paddle tournament yesterday, Gons and I as a pair. As you all know, we play together pretty much always. And it was a first round match of, as I say, a federated tournament, Madrid level-wise. We had a tough pair, tough opposition. And after about an hour and 45 minutes, playing Golden Point as well, so you can imagine how long the match was. We lost in the deciding set in the tiebreak, 7-6. So, yeah, it was a bit of a tough evening, a bit of a tough Sunday evening. But, yeah, got to take the positives and move on to the next one, right, Gons?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't think it gets more painful than losing in a third set tiebreak. So it was really hard to swallow. But now we're here looking forward.
Exactly. And to be honest, these tournaments are obviously of a very high level. You always play good pairs and good players. So it's all about the learning curve and just have to try and do right what we didn't do as well as we could have in the match. But yeah, I am very much looking forward to today's episode because for the first time in a very, very long time, I think our speech and our topics are going to be quite different. I mean, not totally different, but quite different. So I'm very happy that all the players listened to our previous podcast and basically made some changes.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like our last week's podcast kind of hit the right timing. And just want to take this opportunity as well to say thank you to everyone that like left comments and participated. I mean, really nice to see what people thought out there. I must say general consensus was that, no, we don't need any new rule changes. Which I agree. I mean, some really valid points. Obviously, Goya and Tapia have been playing so well. It's kind of, it's not their fault in a way. It's like other people should catch up to them and should try and strive to be better. So completely agree with that. But yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who left a comment because we always reread all of them. And yeah, we thought there were some very interesting points and in general agree with what everyone said.
Definitely. I mean, I'm pretty happy that most people agreed a bit more with me than with you, Gons, because yeah. You basically want rules to be changed immediately because you're not liking Goyan Tabia's dominance. So
yeah, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No. I get it. And I would have done that if you'd gone the other way. But yeah, loving the interaction, guys, loving the engagement. And to be honest, it's probably a good time to ask our fans, given that this week is one of the last weeks of the year without a tournament. It'd be great if for next week's episode, given that Gons and I are probably going to go for, well, a bit more random topics, i.e. not focused on a specific tournament. It'd be great if you could share any thoughts or any things, topics that you'd like us to discuss, because we're very open to talking about, yeah, anything relevant that you'd like to hear about.
Exactly. So maybe moving on to the actual tournament itself. As Hugo did allude, we did finally see a different final, but the result was still the same. So Goyan Tapia with a pretty dominating win of the Kuwait P1 6-4, 6-2 over Stupa and Yanguas. And well, let me ask you, Hugo, how happy were you to see a different final?
To be honest, I was absolutely buzzing. I genuinely, and as you know, I'm a massive fanboy of Goyan Tapia. They are my favorite pair. You are as well. So I probably wouldn't have been as happy if Goyan Tapia hadn't played the final. And obviously, I'm quite happy that Chingalan didn't make it because they're the main contenders for the number one spot. However, in a way, I genuinely think that if Chingalan had made the final and someone else had played them, I would also have been happy. I think it's great for paddle. I think it's just refreshing because you have new players making the final, which means that they add experience when it really matters and playing those really key points in finals. And actually, I think it's going to be really, really important experience for Yanguas in particular, because after his tough week at the World Cup, given that he played the decisive point and probably underperformed, being honest, He was, I thought, excellent throughout 85% of the match against Koyan Dabian this final. But again, in probably the two key games, he made some uncharacteristic unforced errors, probably with his best shot, because they were pretty much all with his bandeja. And I genuinely think those unforced errors were really the difference that led Koyan Dabia to break their serve and go on and win the match. So, yeah, again, really refreshing. And maybe do you want me to delve a little bit into my initial thoughts on the final?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Nice. So, yeah, for those of you who didn't watch it, I'm sure it won't be many of you, given that I know you're all as obsessed with paddle as Gonz and I are. The score of the final was 6-4, 6-2 to Dabian Goyo. It looks quite dominant. And yeah, when you read the score, you're probably thinking, hey, it was a bit of a spanking. But I don't think so, because when you actually look at the score, it was only one break in the first set. And the second set, Stupan Yang were 2-1 up at one point. So it was just, 70% of the match was really even. And then Goyan Dabia managed to win five games in a row. But even those five games were very disputed. Now, going a little bit into the final, I think there's one name and one man that stands out in particular, and that's Don Arturo Coello, the king. His stats were unbelievable. I don't think I've ever seen better stats. And genuinely, it's up there with the best performances in a match and in a final, but more importantly, in a match that I've ever seen. 21 winners, one unforced error. It's just immaculate. I mean, he's playing with so much confidence that it just seems like he can't put a foot wrong. Every aggressive volley that he goes for goes in. His smash is back to being, honestly, as demolishing as Dabia's is, and Dabia's probably got the best smash on tour alongside Galan. And defensively, he's unbelievable coming up to the net and blocking, which has obviously been one of his strong points throughout his whole career and throughout recent years when he's reached the top of the ranking next to Dabia. But also at the back of the court, he's just so comfortable and looks so in control. So, yeah, I mean, I think Coello was the big differentiator in the final. I mean, Dabia performed very well as well. 16 winners, 8 unforced errors, and almost a +8 total score according to Paddle Intelligence's statistics. So, yeah, I mean, they were dominant and they deserved to win. But I did think that Stupan Yanguas had a sensational match as well. I think that they, for 70-75% of the match they played, as well as I've seen them play together, and as well as I've seen Chingalan play Goyan Dabia in some of these finals, it's just that in a couple of key games, Yanguas in particular made quite a few mistakes. That would probably be my overall summary. Maybe just a little amend or a little addition. Stupa looked back to his best. I genuinely thought he looked back and was playing at the level that we saw him play last season when he fought for the number one spot next to the Neno. He was decisive with his smash. He was unbelievably good at defending and putting an extra ball into play. So yeah, I just thought all in all, a great final from all four players, but Coello was just perfect.
Yeah, I don't think you could have put it any better. I mean, Goyo was absolutely sensational. The king continues his form because since the summer break, I mean, he's been the difference maker. I think we've discussed this plenty of times. He's been unbelievable. I mean, I think right now on form, you have to say he's the best player in the world. And I mean, the stats that you read were absolutely bonkers. I'm just going to add maybe two more stats, which I also think highlights just how good he was in the final, because you mentioned he had one unforced error, but he had two forced errors, which also is just absolutely insane. And then on top of that, something which I found actually quite interesting was that he actually only played 37% of the balls. So the volume was actually quite low and it was way more focused on Dabia, which is normally not the case, right? Normally we've seen people go after Coello, especially when Chingalan were beating them in the finals. They were heavily focusing on Coello. And this time around, they're more focusing on Dabia. So that was really interesting that he was able to have such a high impact on the game with essentially playing less than half of the balls. So really, really good on his side. I think on Stupan Yanguas, I mean, incredible performance from them. I think this tournament, as you said, probably the best match they've played. The fact that all four players had a positive contribution score, I just think kind of highlights the whole level of the match. I mean, all the players were sensational. And yeah, as you said, I think it's a really good point that you made around Yanguas using this and potentially learning from this. He's obviously never been at this point of his career in such high leverage moments, right? We've had the World Cup that he's played the decisive match in a World Cup final. Now he's consistently, you say, reaching the semifinals. He had that final with Stupa, which they ended up winning the tournament, and playing against the very, very best, which he's never really had to do, or not at this level in his career. So he's facing a lot of pressure points. He's getting that. And you can see that he still kind of has to work on that. But I mean, Yanguas is as close as a finished product as there is out there. I mean, he's basically got every shot, and he just really needs to, the only thing he really needs to improve is just this kind of be better under pressure. But I have no doubt that he'll get there in time, because he's an unbelievable player. I mean, started the set of the final really, really well. And Stupa as well, I thought that his performance, it kind of seemed like definitely he was back to his best. And I mean, if they continue like this, and maybe we can use this as kind of a segue to discuss a bit their semifinal and what we think about Chingalan and how they are now. But if Stupa and Yanguas continue like this and they cross more often into each other, you know, that it could be really tough for them to beat, or it could be really tough for Chingalan to have to go through Stupa and Yanguas as well, because I mean, right now they seem like they're playing some really, really good paddle.
Yeah, it's a really good point you make and you put forward, because, well, I mean, obviously we can delve deeper into the semi-final between Chingalan and Stupa and Yanguas now, but actually, when going back to when we analysed the major pair changes that happened a couple of months back, you and I both thought that Stupa and Yanguas on paper looked like the best pair out of them, Paquito and Cardona, and Lebron and Dineno. And to be honest, for the first few weeks, it seemed like we'd had an absolute stinker and they were the worst pair out of the three. But I think actually time has kind of put things right, and they seem like they're starting to fit the pieces of the puzzle. And the errors in communication regarding particularly balls down the middle that probably Stupa has been very used to covering, because he's very fast and he plays on the backhand side of the court, and he's played with players like, well, Martin Dineno, who is very happy just, you know, kind of covering around the court around Stupa, but giving Stupa let's say the baton, giving him the leadership of the point and the volume of the play. Yanguas is different, right? I mean, he's about 6'6". An absolute animal in the air. He's worked a lot on his smash, so he wants to cover a lot of aerial play, particularly because his bibora is also his best shot. So they've probably found a midpoint where Yanguas is having more aerial play than Stupa's used to, but also he's giving Stupa a bit more of the baton. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why they're starting to work well together. But yeah, so maybe, do you think we should probably crack on with the semi-final between Chingalan and Stupa and Yanguas, unless there's anything else you want to add on the final? But I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, no, I mean, those are kind of my thoughts of the final. So happy to go into the semis now.
One thing that I was actually quite surprised about, just last thing on the final, was Goyo and Dabia only won 11 more points than Stupa and Yanguas, 66 versus 55, which again, I think reflects that even though the scoreline seems quite, you know, they won twice as many games, they didn't win twice as many points. So yeah, I mean, I actually thought in the first set Stupa and Yanguas looked better returning, and they were more dominant on service, just that when it really matters,
They generated a healthy amount of break points. I mean, they generated break points in each set, if I'm not mistaken. I think Koyo and Tapia generated 5 break points, they took 3. You know, Stupa and Yanguas generated 3 breakpoints, so nearly there, but they just couldn't capitalize on any of them.
No, agreed. I think that was the big differentiator, and also just the amount of unforced errors. I mean, they had twice as many as Dabia and Goyo, but that's probably down to Goyo, given that he only produced 1, which is just absolutely unheard of. But yeah, moving on to the other semi-final between Chingalan and Stupa and Yanguas. Well, maybe Gons, do you want to kick off? What were your kind of initial thoughts? Because it was pretty surprising.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely was not expecting it. Definitely not this score. I mean, in the previous semi-final at the Dubai P1, probably arguably one of the better matches of Chingalan. I thought recently, I mean, they were sensational and they completely took Stupa and Yanguas off the park. So I was, I honestly thought again, Chingalan were going to win. But to be fair to Stupa and Yanguas, I mean, absolutely sensational that both of them, incredible level, kind of carried that into the final because both of them were great. I did think, however, on Chingalan's side, it just kind of feels like the season's over for them. I mean, they don't really have anything to play for. I think I've seen some statements by Galan. I've seen like a picture with like quotes or on him. So I'm not actually sure if it's him saying it or anything. I haven't seen a video, but kind of saying that the objective's been accomplished, kind of congratulating Goya and Dabia for the number one because they clearly deserve it, and kind of just saying that they've kind of, him and Chingo have done really well this year. They've accomplished their objectives, which I don't know how true it is because obviously Alan's objective was to be world number one and he didn't get it. But in any case, I mean, they have had an incredible performance of 14 straight finals or 13 straight finals. So it just feels like, to me, it kind of feels like for them, the season's over, certainly on Galan's side. I mean, I saw the Galan once again that came back from the summer really frustrated. You could just see so many unforced errors that's unlike him. Chingoto wasn't really able to kind of bring the good side of Galan and keep him with his positive attitude and bring his energy up. So Galan really, for me, kind of was a bit of a letdown, and Chingoto just wasn't able to really generate a lot of winners as well, kind of wasn't really able to get into the game. But I don't want to take anything away from Stupa and Yanguas, who I thought played a brilliant match, to be honest.
I totally agree. And actually, the words from Galan that you just alluded to, I'm pretty sure they were part of some sort of interview prior to them losing to Stupa and Yanguas. So interesting, because he was already saying that. Now, given that that's happened, I almost feel that he's been a little bit complacent, because they were still fighting for the number one spot. I know they're probably thinking this is absolutely impossible. Goyan Dabia are playing at an unbelievable level. So even if we win all the tournaments that are left, they'll make the finals and that'll be enough for them to stay at the number one spot. Fair enough. But surely you don't say you've accomplished your objective when you were fighting for the number one rank and it's pretty certain that they haven't made it. And also they lost the World Cup final with Galan losing a key point in that final once again, because he lost a key point a couple of years back. And all this taking into account that for, 7 months of the season, Galan has been the best player on the planet. So, yeah, I'm not entirely sure why he came out with that. Maybe that's something that's come from their team saying, hey, guys, you've got to be really happy. And maybe their team is saying that, say, Jorge Martinez and everyone else involved, just to calm them down a bit, because you're totally right. I've seen the frustrated side of Galan that we've seen sometimes throughout the season, where I think he's got so much paddle in him and there's so many things that he can do that sometimes he's trying to finish points too quickly or do something that's a little bit too hard. To be honest, Juan Lebron is almost like at the end of that scale at the moment. It feels like one of the reasons why he's not playing at the level that we've seen him play at for many years is the fact that he's got so much paddle in him, but he's not picking the right moments to go for the risky shot or to play the safe shot. I almost think that Galan's fallen a little bit into that bag as well. So, yeah, I totally agree. Maybe looking a little bit into those stats, the semi-final stats between Yanguas and Stupa and Chingalan. I mean, Galan stats, they're okay. 14 winners, 11 unforced errors. Definitely not what he's accustomed us to throughout the season. I mean, I'd say the big majority of matches he's produced more than 14 winners. He's probably produced more than 20 on average. And I mean, Chingoto's stats, 2 winners, 5 unforced errors for a player of his caliber and how well he's been doing this season, it really just isn't good enough. And then when you look at Yanguas and Stupa, again, Stupa, the MVP in that final, 21 winners, 6 unforced errors, a plus 2.3 as well on important points. It just reflects the fact that Stubbs had a great week over in Kuwait. And Yanguas, again, a very good contribution score. And I actually thought that he was a big differentiator in that match due to the amount of winners and how much pressure he puts on the rivals when he's at the net. He's just going for really aggressive volleys, the por cuadros that we've spoken about a lot. He's using his smash a lot. So, yeah, I mean, to be honest, the score reflects that it was a bit of a spanking. And watching the match, it was a bit of a spanking. I mean, maybe if I'd watched the match and attributed a score to it, it wouldn't have been as clear. But it would have probably been a 6-3, 6-2 or 6-3, 6-3. So I think it's pretty reflective of what we saw on court. And hey, it could be also down to the fact that Galan's struggling with his knee since last week's tournament. And he's probably, yeah, playing it a little bit safe. But I think there's more to it. One topic that I did want to introduce, but actually, you know what? Let me get your thoughts on that semi before I send across a little question.
No, go ahead. I mean, I think I've already kind of given my thoughts on the semi-final. So please.
Okay. Okay, I'd like to, because actually we were a bit worried that things weren't going to change between now and the end of the season. I.e. Chingal and Goyan Dabia were going to make all the finals and the other pairs weren't going to make a big improvement. They weren't going to make a final, etc. Now it's happened. We've got three tournaments left. One of them's a major. One of them's the tour finals. How likely do you think it is that, you know, one of the pairs beyond Chingal and Goyan Dabia makes another final between now and the end of the season? And how likely do you think it is that we don't see a Chingalan versus Goyan Dabia final between now and the end of the season?
No, I still think that if I had to bet, I'd probably say we still are going to be watching Chingalan and Goyan Dabia, at least for sure, at least once. I mean, I still, in a way, if I recall correctly, these are the kind of weeks that we said they're the ones that seemed kind of more likely for a change to happen, just simply because of the schedule and the importance of the tournament. So the top pairs have been playing basically since the World Cup, and that's like 3 weeks on the bounce. And, you know, you now have a break, you've got a major, then you've got Milan P1, which I think is a tournament that most players like. And then you've got 2 weeks after, if I'm not mistaken, the tour finals, which would be the first tour finals in Premier Padel history. And tour finals are always kind of like a special tournament. So I do think that Chingalan will be up for it. Because, I mean, the question's not about Goyan Dabia. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Goyan Dabia are going to make every single final until the end of the season. But on Chingalan's side, I mean, I still think that they'll kind of be wanting to go up for it. Or at least I hope so. I hope that they don't just fully kind of give up. And we'll see as well with Galan's knee. Obviously, that could have been a major issue maybe this last tournament. So we'll see. But I would say I'd be pretty confident that they will keep on making the final. I mean, definitely at least one, because, you know, major, you're up for it. And then the tour finals as well. And you have some nice breaks in between. So yeah, I think it would be I think this kind of lead up to the major is going to be a good reset for Chingalan. And I'm sure that they're going to be super up for the fact that, you know, they've lost. They haven't made another final the first time since they've been a pair that they haven't made a final. So I'm sure they'll be super gassed to go out there and prove everyone wrong in a way.
Yeah, and I mean, if I had to bet, I would agree. I think they've been so dominant, both pairs, that I'd be surprised if we've got three finals left and we don't watch that final again, given how many times we've watched it throughout the season. What I would say is I'd be surprised if we watch that final 3 out of 3 times, because I've genuinely been a bit disappointed with, well, we probably haven't spoken about Galan's attitude in that semi-final against Stupan Yanguas. He was really negative on the benches and just not, well, basically he wasn't really helping the team out. I mean, Jorge Martinez was really kind of calling him out in a way, saying it's fine if things don't go our way, yeah, but let's have the right attitude. Let's try things. I remember him saying, we can't just play a lob and run forwards and hope for the best. Let's try and create something new and propose different things. So yeah, his attitude hasn't been great. And I just wonder how he's going to manage those emotions, given that, well, as we've probably agreed, he hasn't achieved either of his two key objectives this season, being the number one spot and the World Cup, really. But yeah, I guess we'll see. And maybe another big question before we talk about, well, I think one of the other major matches that happened in Kuwait, which was obviously Lebron and Dineno losing in the last 16 match against, well, they're calling them the Chicos de Moda. So the boys, the fashion boys, I'd say.
Boys in fashion.
Yeah, the boys in fashion, which are obviously Jairo Bautista and Fran Guerrero, who have had an unbelievable week out in the Middle East. But yeah, given that, as we all know, Lebron and Dineno lost convincingly against Jairo and Fran, who would you say is the third best pair in the world right now?
Oh, it's a good question. I mean, I guess you just have to go with Stupan Yanguas, right? I mean, I know it just sounds like prisoner of the moment and recency bias and stuff, but they've won the same amount of, just look at it objectively, they've won the same amount of titles as Lebron and Dineno. They've reached one more final. They've beaten Chingalan, which Lebron and Dineno haven't. And if I'm not mistaken, have they had the same number or even less kind of stinker losses than Lebron and Dineno? Because Lebron and Dineno have now have two, right? They lost against Libak, yep, and Augsburg, Tothas and Augsburg, yep, as well, round of 16 or something like that. And now against Fran and Jairo. And early on, Yanguas and Stupa maybe lost. I remember one against, was it Berga and Esbri? And I feel like, that was, I think, their first tournament. And I feel like there's another loss in there that was a bit suspect. But those were kind of early on. And they've kind of, the thing is as well, you it feels like when you watch them play one, it feels like they're much better than Lebron and Dineno. And it gives me confidence that these kind of losses happened early on. And now they're kind of, the ship is steady and they seem to be getting better each week. Whereas Lebron and Dineno, they're kind of in this weird phase of like, you know, even kind of like match by match, one match they're looking amazing and then another match they look horrible. So yeah, I mean, I definitely have to go with Stupan Yanguas.
Good. You know what? I'd probably agree. I was doubting, really, but based on your rationale, and really, I think it's what we have to go on, it makes sense that Stupan Yanguas are the third best pair. Now, the only thing I would say is that Lebron and Dineno have only faced Chingalan once, and they lost that match, whereas Stupan Yanguas, I think it's at least, what, three times? Maybe even four. So they've had more chances to beat them. But I just think, yeah, I think one of the main points, if not the main point, is the fact that Stupan Yanguas have made a final, beaten Chingalan. And the other one is that their just feelings on the court are so wrong. And maybe this actually leads us to talking about their match against Fran Guerrero and Jairo Bautista. I mean, Jairo and Fran won 7-5, 6-2, if I'm not mistaken. And I mean, they were sensational. I mean, Jairo Bautista is a hell of a player, isn't he? He's massive, got an unbelievable smash. He's really technical for a guy of his size. I mean, the amount of chiquitas that he plays so kind of comfortably, and well, the amount of court he covers when he volleys. I mean, it's one of those where he plays a volley and then starts walking towards the middle, plays a second volley, and then actually plays a third volley right in front of his partner to finish the point. I mean, the amount of times that he's traveled across the net and won the point, I mean, baffling. And then Fran Guerrero, for me, really exciting prospect based on the fact that he's on the forehand. And as you and I have agreed throughout previous episodes, I don't think there's that many top forehand prospects going at the moment, at least not as many as there are in the backhand. And he's just so consistent, got a really good smash, an aggressive volley and an aggressive bibora. And he just seems quite composed under pressure for a player of his age. So really impressed by that pair. And hey, I mean, they also beat Gokinir Donjonsanth in the quarterfinals in two sets. So credit where credit's due. But yeah, I mean, I think it was a big hit for Lebron Dineno. I mean, did they have three set points in that first set? I'm pretty sure they did. They had three set points against Jairo and Fran, and they lost them and ended up losing the next game and the next game. I mean, looking at the benches and their interactions, that pair just seems to be so off. just very limited communication. Once again, Lebron, Wendy Neno, and what's the coach's name? I'm forgetting now.
Silingo.
Yeah. When they're having a conversation and proposing ideas, Lebron's just kind of looking elsewhere. And then suddenly he adds a line that's not agreeing with what the coach says. And then the Neno actually being quite negative and quite quiet, which is not what he's accustomed us to. I mean, he's a massive team player. It just seems very off. And on court, I mean, the Neno, I think, is at the lowest level that I'm seeing him play for a couple of years, not generating nearly as many winners as he was generating before. And defensively, he's making quite a few more mistakes. So all in all, a big drop. And then Lebron, just, I think, in the key points, he's really letting himself down. I don't know whether it's down to a mental thing or whether... I think it's down to a mental thing. It's just a lot of the balls actually ends up leaving them in the net, which I think is actually quite linked to confidence. I think he's... In Spanish, you say, se te encoge el brazo. Like your arm has kind of... it's not loose. And I do kind of feel that LeBron plays that way when it's a key point. So, yeah, just quite disappointed with their performance. What did you think, Gons?
Yeah, same. I mean, Di Neno just seems completely different to the player that he was last year. And I generally thought that when him and Stupa split, that it was kind of more like Stupa was kind of maybe the one that wasn't playing as well. But I mean, Stupa now has definitely been finding form recently, and kind of Di Neno hasn't really picked up his form yet. So I just feel like he's not bringing his kind of A game offensively. And then even defensively, which is kind of what you expect, you know, it's Di Neno's bread and butter. He's not as good defensively as well. He's actually making a lot of unforced errors that are just not very like him. So if he's not very good, if he's like lost defensively, and he's definitely lost the offensive side because his smashing is definitely not what he used to, then you're kind of, he's just like gone down a level to what we're seeing. And I feel like this is kind of forcing Lebron to wear the weight of the pair quite a bit on both sides of the game. And you can see that this then means that he has to take a lot of risks in some moments and try certain shots that maybe he wouldn't try if his partner was kind of giving or helping or supporting more. Now, I don't want to put all of this on Di Neno, because as well, the problem with LeBron, as we all know, is he's so emotional that when the games start going bad or he's not playing to the level that he thinks they should be playing, then we get this side of him which is not helping his partner at all, right? So it kind of feels like a vicious cycle where LeBron kind of is not happy with what he's seeing or how they're playing. He starts being really quiet. He gets frustrated. He starts pulling these faces in the match, which then I'm sure affects how his partner is feeling. And it just goes and spirals into a massive ball. So we'll see how it goes. But I mean, it's not looking very good out there.
No, it definitely isn't. And I mean, it's a good point you make. I think in terms of level, I do think LeBron's performing pretty well and better than the Neno, because he's generating a lot of winners and he is generating unforced errors. He is having unforced errors, but it is also down to the fact that, as you said, he's having to take all the risks, because the Neno, I don't know why, but he's not being nearly as aggressive as he was being in his best moments with Stupa. So I understand that, yeah, the Neno is at fault to a big extent, but as you say, what can't happen is that, hey, you've got three balls to win the set, you lose that game, and suddenly everything, you start being really negative. This happens in paddle. You can, it may well happen that you don't take the opportunity when you should take it, and you don't close three break points and they end up winning that game. But you can't lose all your hope and start being really negative if that happens, because it happens more often than it doesn't. So, yeah, it's a shame to see them this way, really, because I was really excited when they teamed up, and some of their matches get me really excited just because they're quite unpredictable with LeBron on the backhand, which obviously we're not accustomed to. But it really doesn't feel like a long-term project. And being honest, right now, I'd be surprised if they stick together looking at next season. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it just doesn't seem very sustainable. And I mean, LeBron's not going to change. So it's just going to be, it's tough to deal, right? With, you have to really be invested. You really have to be in the right mindset. And in matches where things aren't going your way, I mean, the Nenner's probably left there thinking like, God, I'm going to have to deal with this now. And so it must be quite tough in that regard. And I definitely don't see this lasting past 2025.
Will LeBron give Stupa a call? Will Stupa pick up the phone? Will he call?
That would be really interesting.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, a lot of things that we can maybe chat about throughout next week's podcast, but maybe just a couple.
Maybe just to finish off, maybe LeBron is the one that's feeling like, hey, I don't think the Nenner's giving me what I need and what I want, and kind of feeling like I'm being the better player. And maybe he's the one that actually makes the decision.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I'm really thinking that LeBron is, you're saying that LeBron might be the one who makes the decision.
Yeah, now, but I could see the Nenner as well kind of being a bit fed up.
Yeah. I mean, the Nenner's probably fed up from an attitude point of view.
Yeah.
Because when things are going well, LeBron seems to be so happy and he's spoken so well of the Nenner. And then when things don't go well, he's back to kind of his old ways. And then LeBron's probably saying, hey, you're not giving me enough winners and you're not the wall and defensive machine that I was expecting. So I'm probably thinking of looking elsewhere. But hey, I guess we'll see. No, I just wanted to take the chance to talk about probably one of the best matches of the season in my eyes. I just want to touch on it. But Garrido and Berga against Coyandapia in that quarterfinal. My word, what a match.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, contender for match of the year. I think I shared with you the stats too, and honestly, I was like, I was baffled by them because if I'm not mistaken, the worst player in the match was Beramini with a contribution score of, so like plus 12 or plus 17, something like that, like ridiculous numbers. The match lasted nearly 3 hours, if I'm not mistaken, 2:45. And the level throughout was like insane. So, and obviously Garrido and Bergamini took away a set from Coyandapia, which hadn't been done since Chingalan in one of the finals back in September, if I'm in Madrid, yeah. Maybe, or
Madrid. Like,
Madrid. So I mean, yeah, it was an insane match to watch. I truly loved it. And Garrido and Berga, as we said, when they kind of joined forces, like, it's just a pair that makes so much sense.
It makes so much sense. Now, will they stick together based on the amount of pair changes that will probably happen? I doubt it, because Garrido's got a lot more points, and he'll probably, if LeBron switches back to the forehand, which is probably quite likely, he'll have attractive prospects to team up with, maybe even LeBron. But it would be a shame because Garrido just seems to be so free. I mean, poor guy generated about 40-something winners, less than 15 unforced errors, and he lost the match.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, it must have been really frustrating.
Yeah, agreed. But yeah, I mean, that's probably it from my side, unless you've got anything else to add, Gons.
No, I really hope everyone enjoyed this episode. Please keep up with the interaction, leave a like, subscribe if you haven't, and leave a comment to give us your thought of the whole tournament. I mean, I thought we saw some really interesting things. Obviously, a new final, Jairo and Fran breaking through, collapse of LeBron and the Nenner. So that this epic match that we just discussed with Garrido and Berga. So a lot of interesting things which made for a really good tournament.
Definitely one of my favorite tournaments all season, and actually great to watch another indoor tournament. It's just the level's so much better. But yeah, guys, thanks for tuning in, and catch you soon.